Okay, tonight, continue our discussion in the idea of this seriousness of sin, and let me get where I want to get here. Consequences, hardened heart. Consequence of sin is having that heart that is hardened, not listening to the word. And the ultimate consequence of sin is
death,
separation from God, eternal
torment
in hell that we discussed last week. Just basically the ultimate consequence, the end. It comes down to the idea of the seriousness of sin. And if we engage in it, what we can expect as a consequence of it. We've talked about the different types of sins, how sins can affect us in our lives. What I think I want to do this evening, and again, there was those couple chapters that we missed on sin against our brethren and sin against the home. Kind of go back and take some ideas from that and see if we can make some specific applications in our lives. Because I think that as we've looked at it, we've kind of looked at sin in the general realm of things, of what sin is generically. But I think maybe if we can kind of try to get it and how it really affects me. Not me, but you. Not you, but me. Each one of us. Okay, so I've asked the question, what is sin? And you answered it with death, separation from God. We have eternal punishment in hell. Okay, I'm going to ask the question again. And I want the answer to be... to come from, I don't want that to be the answer, okay? Sin is what in my life? In my life, sin is when I, okay, transgress the word, right? All that kind of stuff. How does James talk about it?
Do right and don't do it.
What's that?
If you know to do right and don't do it, it's sin.
If you know to do right and don't do it, that is sin. That's correct.
Giving in to the lust and the flesh.
Okay. That's right. That's kind of what I wanted, Chris, along that line, and I'm not finding it in James.
Chapter 1.
Verse 14. But when each one is tempted, but each one, okay, that one is who? Who is that one?
Each of us.
Okay, I want a different pronoun. That one is what?
Me.
That one is me. Okay. So when I am tempted, I am carried away and enticed by my lust. right? And then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Okay. So, sin happens within my life, within the way I walk and the way I do things. And it's going to be different than what?
Me.
Okay. It's going to be different than you. Each one of us, it affects us differently. So, who has sinned? Very generically, who has sinned? In the broadest sense, who?
All.
Romans chapter
3:23.
All have sinned. Okay. And that includes, that's basically everybody. Once I become a Christian, I have been washed of my sins, but then am I free of sin? Okay, I continue to sin. Hopefully I don't practice sin, but yet I continue to sin. That sin comes from where? From me. From my lust and desires and the things that cause me to fall away. And when we take this class and apply it, that's what I need to get rid of, is that sin that I commit, that I'm guilty of. Does that make sense? Comments? Okay. So we have the idea, we use the expression, we know that everybody sins before becoming a Christian, and even after becoming a Christian, I sin. Okay, I'm going to use a really strange word here, but am I obligated to sin? Can I go without sin?
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to strive for. I mean, okay, we can use the cop-out. No, it creeps into my life. But we need to have that idea that we can walk sinlessly in this life. Would you agree with that? I mean, can we go an hour this evening without sinning? I mean, okay, yeah. So can we go 2 hours tonight without sinning? Can we go the rest of the evening? So I guess what I want to think is that sin in my life is me falling to the temptations and the lust that I have. And how can I eliminate that within my life is a question that I guess I want each one of you to answer in your way and how you do it. And hopefully this class has kind of brought us to that with the idea of the characteristics of sin and how sin works, where sin is hiding, when I can fall into it without knowing about it. But the more we're aware of it, the less that is going to happen. Okay. I want to look at a passage in Deuteronomy. Oh, that wasn't supposed to happen like that, but okay, it did. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. I'm going to start in verse 4, Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today, they shall be on your heart. So, who is speaking here?
I
I believe this here would be like Moses speaking to the people. And he says, these words that I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. So is this a suggestion? And this is what Moses is conveying, and he's conveying from God. And you shall teach them, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them. Okay, what is the them? You shall teach them.
Your children.
What's that?
Your children.
You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk to them.
God's commandments.
So what is the them?
God's commandments.
Okay, okay. It's God's word. It's God's word. let me read it from here, because this is that the same translation? I think it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall repeat them diligently to your sons, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Referring to when? John?
Always.
I mean, your life should be surrounded by these words. They should encompass everything you do. You shall also tie them as a sign to your hand, and you shall be frontals on your forehead. I understand that was kind of something they wore and stuff like that, but they were supposed to be there. You shall also write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. These words are supposed to be where? They're supposed to be all around them, so no matter what it is they do, they're aware of the words of God. And you teach them to your sons, your children, your sons and your daughters. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Starting in verse 1, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. And know this day that I am not speaking with your sons who have not known and who have not seen the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arms, and his signs and his works which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. So they're aware of it. Go over to verse 18. You shall therefore impress these words of mind on your heart and on your souls. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in the house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of the house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them as long as the heavens remained above the earth. So again, the words that God gave to Moses and that Moses spoke to the people were those words in which they were to keep and they were to live by and they were to do. Verse 22 of Deuteronomy 11. For if you're careful to keep all the commandments which I command to you, to do it, and to love the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you. and you will dispose nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of the foot shall tread shall be yours. Your border shall be from the wilderness of Lebanon, and from the rivers and from the river Euphrates as far as to the western sea, and there shall be no man be able to stand before you. The Lord your God shall lay the dead, and you shall, and the fear of you, and the fear of you shall on all the land on which you set foot, as he has spoken, you see. See, I am before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding to you this day, and a curse if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from that which I commanded you today. So there is that benefit, again, the consequence of keeping God's word, all that God is going to give to them, and then the curse of if they didn't. And he goes through what the curses are. So whose decision was it to keep the word or not to keep the word? Again, it was the people. They either lived by it or they didn't live by it. We can see from the example of how they lived their life and did not live to that God keeps his promise. Okay, to my next verse, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go. Even when he grows older, he will not abandon it. Okay, keep that in mind. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 6, we've read. Proverbs 22, we've read. So Ephesians chapter 6. Six 4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15, and from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And actually in verse 1 of 2 Timothy, verse 5, Timothy 1:5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Okay. And then Titus chapter 1. Paul instructs Titus in chapter 5, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I direct you. Namely, that a man be above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accursed of dispensation or rebellion. For an overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, nor quick-tempered, nor addicted to wine, not found in solid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-control, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching. that he be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. And then also in Timothy, we won't go over there to read that, but there's those instructions that are given that an elder must be husband of wife and wife, having rule over his house. What I want to get from these verses and apply to us, to families here, that what is essential in a Christian home? In a Christian home, what is essential? What is paramount? We've got to have it. You've got to have it in your home. And that is?
Training by the Word of God.
What's that?
Training by the Word of God.
Training by the Word of God. And specifically training of those that are young, our children, as we bring them up. If we bring them up in the way of the Lord, what is the way that they are likely to go? And this is some of the ideas that he has in the chapter against the home, and that idea of sin against our children. The idea that we need to love them, we need discipline, we need to set an example for them. We need to give them spiritual nourishment. We need to encourage them to obey the gospel, get to the point where what teach them the gospel, provide for their physical needs, spend time with them, care for them. You know, your children are your greatest possession. I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but they just need to have that nurturing, that discipline, the love, that home that is going to teach them and bring them up in a way in which they will be obedient to God. And this is ways in which we can sin against them, is by not providing them this. Thoughts, comments? I guess, you know, you let's look at the families that are here, and I would say this is being applied in those families to the children that are here and stuff. But what is the problem out there? It's not there. What is the consequences of sin in our society? What are some things that you can come up with? What, abortion? Drugs? Children that have a lack of respect for authority? Where does that stuff need to be taught? And where does that need to come from? But the home. You know, you see on TV and stuff, you see a lot of rioting through this past summer and stuff. And who is it that seems to be visually those that participate in that? What's that?
The younger generation.
Can't we generally say that? I mean, yeah, occasionally there'll be somebody of an older generation out there and stuff. But isn't a lot of the younger generation that are looting, destroying, beating, taking advantage of situations that they have? And again, where did that not come from? Where, I mean, that is sin, and just look at all the sins that compiles upon to get to that point. Troy?
I
Oh, I thought you were going to say something. Anything? Okay, staying with the family, and there are some that are a little bit younger in the audience, but what about sin against our parents? Now, obviously, everybody here has parents, and there's different relationship. I mean, Kenny and Diana have parents, and Kenny and Diana are parents. And those reactions are going to be different, but there's some ways in which we need to react to both of those. As young children, or is it just young children? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mothers, which is the first commandment of promise, that they may be well with you, for that your days may be long on earth. So children have a command to do what? I guess I could call on Joel. Have a command to what?
Obey your parents.
Obey your parents. Is that a suggestion that Paul is writing? A suggestion? Obey your parents. Sometimes as youngsters it is not necessarily easy to obey your parents. But as one becomes a child of God and steps into that role of being a Christian, even though being a younger individual, there becomes that responsibility for that individual, for younger individuals to be obedient to your parents. Now we go back to that situation of Troy and Kenny and Diana. I mean, it's like Troy obedient to Mr. and Mrs. Morton is over there. But what responsibility do older children have to elderly parents?
There's still a thing or two you can still learn from them.
What's that?
There's still a lot you can learn from them.
Right.
Even though they're older. I'm older, they're older. There's still always something to be learned from one another. And as they get older, I have a responsibility to help take care of them.
Right. That idea of respect and honor to parents. Let's go over to 1 Timothy 5. And starting in verse 1. Again, relationships here that, ultimate sin. Sin is ultimately against who?
God.
Against God. Okay. But can we sin against one another? Okay. Everybody's shaking their head. Right. We can. So we need to be aware of that. Do not sharply rebuke an elderly gentleman, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brethren, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. That relationship that we as Christians are to have to one another, respect, get along. Verse 3, honor widows who are widows in need, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some returns to their own parents, for this is the acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow in need and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues to entreat and pray night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasures is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is even worse than an unbeliever. Verse 8 is saying what? In a nutshell, what is verse 8 saying?
Take care of your family.
What's that?
Take care of your family.
Take care of your family. Take care of one another. We take care of each other as family. It should be something that we should want to do, have that love and care to do. But it's in this letter written to Timothy. Why is it in here? Because everybody does it without having to be told? You know, why did the Holy Spirit deem it necessary to get this in here? Is he not giving us instruction? And if we do not do it, then it could be classified as
sin.
But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. Let the widow be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. Having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. As family, as members, basically, there's just our job to do with one another. Thoughts, comments, ideas? So we children need to obey their parents. That doesn't mean to question them or to ask why or whatever. Children need to obey their parents. Respect and honor their parents. We need to care for our families. We need to care for our own. And then the idea of husband and wife relationships and are getting along that way. Love each other, assume proper roles, proper values, properly value each other. A husband and wife relationship is one that is approved by God, has been ordained by God. And when a man and woman become married, that is a relationship that is not to be taken apart. It is one that needs to be permanent. Again, over in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22, wives, be submissive to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. 25, husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. and 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as Christ also does the church. As husband and wife, we have what? Specific roles? Is it easy? Are they always easily accomplished?
No.
What, Troy?
No.
No. Must they be accomplished?
Yes.
And we have to constantly be working on it. So it's really easy to sin against our spouses.
Yes.
Maybe not intentionally, but when I sin against my wife, who's guilty of that sin against my wife that I commit? I need to be aware of it. And I need to, how do I overcome that? How can I overcome that sin against my wife? Maybe losing my temper or speaking when I should be listening or whatever. How do I overcome that? How do I overcome that? What would be your help to me to overcome that?
Look in the mirror. You have to pay attention to yourself. You have to pay attention to your tone and your words that are coming out of your mouth.
Okay. And then where do I get that from? What's going to aid me in getting that?
Your wife can.
She can.
But mostly you have to.
But she does it in such a way that it just irritates me.
I know.
You know?
But you still have to look in the mirror.
Okay, I have to look at myself. But I'm looking at the mirror and I'm looking at myself. I see myself. I need to shave. You look in the mirror, you see yourself. Where's my help? Where's my aid? Troy's helping me out. He's telling me to look in the mirror and see myself. But I need to feed on
the Word of God and go to God in prayer, because there's mercy and grace to help in time of need.
Okay. And I need to go back to the Word of God and know what it is I need to be doing in my relationship with my wife. And then knowing it, looking in the mirror and making sure I'm doing that. But we've got to be, just like what we started with, when Moses read those commandments to the people of Israel, he told them to what? When you lay down, when you sit up, when you walk along the road, when you do whatever, you have them on the signpost of your door. You have them on your frontal. You have God's Word constantly in a place where you can relate to it. You can learn from it. You can study from it. You can apply it. You can meditate upon it. Whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is right, let our minds dwell on these things. And then we come to that where I'm able to practice what it is that God wants me to practice, and looking at myself and seeing that I'm doing that. So, you're right, Troy. Look in the mirror. You have that Word of God there by you that you're looking at it with that. Any other comments? Any more comments? In this section on against our companions or our spouses, he has the idea of our specific roles, proper roles, not being bitter or argumentative, not being unforgiving, not breaking our marriage vows. When you talk about a divorce, we're all aware that divorce is not what God wants. When a divorce happens, what's happened before that? I don't care what it was, but what happened before that? Sin. Sin happened before that to get to that point. We need to appreciate one another, reassure one another. It says failure to keep good credit, to keep the credit good. Is that a sin or not? To have your finances in order? Where does it say to have your finances in order? Is it, isn't it? Larry?
Well, it says to owe no man anything but to love one another. We do owe because we're given credit and we're allowed to owe, but if we don't pay our bills, if we don't pay our debts, and we just say, I don't have to pay my debt, then yeah, you've not.
So you need to have in good order.
There's a promise.
Right.
That you're going to pay back what you owe.
Right. Right.
Can't just slough it off in that sense.
So if you do slough it off, if you end up not paying, what are the consequences of that? You owe somebody money and you don't pay them. Consequences are...
It depends on who it is, and they're going to call you ridiculous amount of time. They're going to call you a whole bunch of times. Sometimes you have to go face this person, or it's somebody that you know. You're going to have to see them now and then.
Okay.
You're going to be reminded of that. It could be a vehicle loan, or you're going to lose your vehicle. Somebody's going to come take it away.
Okay. There's all kinds of things that are going to compound because of that. Larry?
Well, it can do harm to that person.
Okay.
I mean, we just, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, and so here's this person who you owe something to, and you just assume that they're fine with giving out money to everybody?
Or, right.
I mean, I have a story along with that, and that is, you know, my brother, one of my brothers who left the Lord, and one of the things that really got to him when he was in business was the people who were members of that church not paying their bills.
Yeah.
And I mean not paying them, not just paying. Like putting them off for a while, but they didn't pay their bills. And my brother's running this business.
Which depends on that.
Yeah, it depends on these guys paying their bills. And
right.
They're supposed to be Christians, so their influence.
Okay.
The church's influence was destroyed by it.
Church's influence is destroyed? Can an individual's influence be destroyed?
Yeah.
Can that affect a spiritual... Well, Larry's example would be that. But spiritually, would somebody in that situation be suitable to be an elder? You know, that would be questionable. What is his reputation? That type of thing. We need to obviously put each other first. If we were to, how could we I don't know, maybe I'll save this for next time. When you look at our society that we're living in and all the unrest and the turmoil and stuff, where does it all come from? I mean, isn't it sin? You know, you look at the political unrest. Is it possible to have two different philosophies on how something should be accomplished? Well, let's just take our political party with Democrats and Republicans and stuff like that. Is it possible to have two different parties in which each philosophy has their own philosophy and to work together, to work it out where everything is running smoothly?
It's possible.
It's possible. What happened? What makes it not possible?
When people have their own agenda.
When people have an agenda, which gets to the point where lies are told, the truth is exaggerated, and it just makes for tensions to be high, and just for people not to get along. Just unrest that way. Troy?
I think that comes back to the hardened heart, where they become so upset with, say, the Democrats and the Republicans have become so upset with each other that they are not even willing to listen to the other one anymore. They're not willing to work with the other one anymore because their hearts are so cold and so hardened against each other that even if somebody had a good idea, they wouldn't even recognize it.
And is that not examples that we saw, that we see in the Bible? Matthew chapter 12 that we looked at, where the Lord is talking to the Pharisees. And again, we discussed this about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The Lord was able or did miracles in front of them. Their heart was hardened to the point where they saw it, but they didn't believe it, or they saw it, or they were making excuses for it, or coming up with, this is not possible because, and again, their heart is hardened. So, we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of sin within our lives and how it can affect our families, and to look in the mirror to make sure that I'm doing everything that I need to be doing to be serving the Lord, to be growing in the Lord. We're not going to be perfect, but walking in a way that is right and pleasing to Him. Any other comments? Anything? I'm going to go ahead and close with there for this evening.
You know, Guy?
Yes.
You know, if we plant a plant, it's easy to see the growth in the plant. Without that same focus and idea of looking in the mirror, it's hard to see the growth within ourselves.
Right.
And like that plant, as long as it's nourished and gets what it needs, it will continue to grow the same as we will continue to grow as long as we are getting the proper nutrition, which is the Bible.
Right, exactly. Very good. Thank you. Okay.